from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now at 6, a sports bar wiped out by flames after more than a century of serving customers in San Francisco. And a sigh of relief for a South Bay woman attacked because of her headscarf.
It makes me feel so much better because I wasn't the only one who she attacked.
Why it took 2 months and 2 arrests for the suspect to land behind bars. And a cold dip for a great cause. Why hundreds of people brave the Bay waters this morning. We'll begin tonight with a San Francisco institution burned down early this morning. This historic Double Play Bar and Grill had been serving drinks since 1909. Some people consider it a baseball shrine because it was the go-to spot when the old Seal Stadium was across the street. KPIX 5's Don Lynn spoke with the owner and has the latest on the fire.
The fire destroyed more than just a bar. It destroyed a lot of history. Double Play is sort of like a time capsule that had a lot of memorabilia that dated back to the Seal Stadium days.
Firefighters got the 911 calls around 5 o'clock early in the morning. It was fully engulfed in flames.
Been declared a working fire location, 16th and Bryant.
They believe the fire started in the front by the bar area. It's destroyed along with the memorabilia. The back dining room has heavy water and smoke damage.
I come to work, I see firefighters, and I come and see everything is done.
Owner Rafael Hernandez found out about the fire when he came to work 6 in the morning.
Looks like I just don't believe it. I see, but I cannot believe it.
Still in shock.
Yeah.
Rafael says he can't put his pain into words because Double Play was his life. Spent 34 years here. Started both as a dishwasher and a cook in 1988. He bought it from the previous owner 14 years ago.
I grew up here basically. First party, baby shower party, graduation. I've had almost every major event here with my dad in the kitchen usually cooking food.
A big loss for the community for the whole history they got inside before.
Double Play opened in 1909. But before it was a neighborhood bar in the Mission and a frequent hangout spot for firefighters and first responders, it was a popular bar and shrine for baseball fans. Seal Stadium was across the street.
The first baseline, they'd come out of the first base. There was a door there. You could see it in the picture. They'd come over here and get a shot. I mean, have a shot of whiskey while they're playing baseball.
This is one of the first games I believe played by the San Francisco Giants at Seal Stadium, and it's against the Dodgers.
The Giants and Willie Mays played 2 seasons at the stadium when they moved from New York to San Francisco. The stadium was demolished in 1959. Some of the old parts were kept as memorabilia at Double Play.
A seat from the Seal Stadium, a little foam piece, that it burned down.
The top of the flagpole from Seal Stadium. Yeah. I don't know what happened. It was on a plaque. Willie Mays signed it.
The refreshment stand sign taken from Seal Stadium did not survive. All the old autographed pictures also gone.
I'm sad. Sorry,
there's not more, man.
Firefighters salvaged an old bat and handed it to Rafael. He says he would like to rebuild if possible.
Firefighters are still investigating the cause of the fire. They say it's too early to tell how it all started. In San Francisco, I'm Daw Lynn, KPIX 5.
There are 2 stories of apartments above Double Play. Those apartments were under renovation, but nobody was living in them. Elsewhere in the city, a San Francisco firefighter was spotted wearing a shirt with "Let's Go Brandon" printed across the back. That slogan is critical of President Biden. Less than an hour after somebody tweeted out a photo of him, the department responded that the shirt was not issued by the department. A spokesperson told KPIX the firefighter is being disciplined. At the same time, the fire department hosted a commemoration of fallen emergency medical service personnel in the Presidio. The event also marks the end of the National EMS Memorial Bike Ride. Cyclists from Reno to San Francisco covered more than 400 miles. The goal is to make a statement of solidarity and to celebrate the lives of those who have died in the line of duty.
Your dedication highlights that our profession leaves no one behind in the face of a medical emergency, even if it puts us at personal risk.
The memorial honored 92 fallen EMS heroes this year whose names were read out loud during the ceremony. Protesters in front of San Francisco City Hall today called for freedom and democracy in Iran. The ongoing protests in Iran are increasing in size and number following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini in police custody. She was arrested for wearing an, quote, improper hijab. The Iranian government is cracking down on demonstrators following a week of mass protests.
As we speak, U.S. government is still not trying to negotiate with terrorist Iranian regime. You need to negotiate with Iranian people. You need to talk to Iranian people directly. You need to defend Iranians who are fighting against this oppressive regime.
The protest continues tomorrow. Demonstrators will create a human chain on the Golden Gate Bridge at 11 o'clock in the morning. Comforting update for a South Bay woman who was recently attacked while wearing a hijab. We learned this week the female suspect has been arrested for the second time. KPX5's Kit Doe caught up with the victim, who has been waiting for weeks to see her alleged attacker behind bars.
So it turns out Mountain View police were canvassing homeless encampments and shelters looking for the suspect, a Tusa Biglari. Word got out, and so she turned herself in.
It makes me feel so much better because I wasn't the only one who she attacked.
We caught up with Yasmin Abukhder, speaking from her new home in Florida. From day one, she's been outspoken in her pursuit of justice.
This is very important to me. I want this to make an impact, and I want this to change something because it's not okay, and I don't want it happening again.
Back in July, Yasmin was walking along Castro Street in downtown Mountain View. Her brother helped demonstrate how Biglari suddenly approached her from behind.
She tapped the back of my shoulder, she grabbed both of my arms, she pinned me against the wall. So she's sitting there choking me, and I'm like, help me. Like, I'm literally talking like that. I'm like, help me, help me.
A gathering crowd stopped the assault, but Yasmin says Biglari continued on a verbal tirade.
You are a terrorist. You hacked me. And I was like, I did what?
What is wrong with you?
Yasmin actually filmed Biglari trying to escape on a bicycle, flipping off the crowd as she left. A few moments later, Biglari was arrested and charged with battery with a hate crime enhancement, but was released the same day. The 43-year-old then failed to appear for her arraignment, and the judge issued a bench warrant for her arrest.
Which I was.
Biglari, who is homeless, is now undergoing a psychiatric evaluation to see if she's fit to stand trial.
To attack someone because of their religion, their sexual orientation, or their ethnicity is deeply un-American.
Santa Clara County District Attorney Jeff Rosen says if the case goes to trial and Biglari is found guilty, he'll ask the judge to assign volunteer work and classes in addition to jail time and fines.
Just because someone has some issues with mental illness does not mean that they're not still responsible for their conduct.
She will get justice, and so that's what I'm hoping for. That's what my gut feeling is, that something good is going to happen out of this. I put a lot of effort into it, and I feel like a good outcome is going to come out of this.
Kit Doe, KPIX 5.
Well, BART's board of directors voted to end the transit system's mask mandate again. The current requirement will end on October 1st. The vote this week also means future decisions about masking will be made by the general manager instead of the board. Meanwhile, trains are running normally in both directions through the Transbay Tube again. This after electrical issues caused people to sit for hours in the dark yesterday. But we're not out of it yet. Pre-planned work on the rails between South Hayward and Union City has closed that portion of the tracks in both directions today. So instead, passengers on both the orange and green lines will have to take the free bus service between South Hayward and Union City. BART says because of that, you should add at least an extra 20 minutes to your travel time. Today, hundreds of people came together for an event in San Francisco Bay that's making waves in the fight against cancer. KPX5's Max Darrow has got that story.
On Saturday morning, all of these people braved the cold water in the bay to swim a mile and a half for a good cause. They jumped in near Marina Green for the 17th annual Swim Across America San Francisco Open Water Swim. This year, the swimmers and volunteers helped raise more than $500,000 for cancer research, prevention, and treatment. Over the 17 years, Swim Across America San Francisco has now raised more than $6 million for cancer research at UCSF's Benioff Children's Hospitals.
I'm here with my whole laboratory scientific team.
Physician and scientist Julie Saba says the event truly helps make a difference with their research.
It's expensive and time-consuming, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the help of Swim Across America, so we're very, very grateful to be able to do it. very enriching, but difficult work that we do.
Some swimmers there to show strength for loved ones. Other swimmers were cancer survivors themselves. The group displaying collective strength and positivity.
We're all swimming for various reasons, but we're also swimming for Lydia and many other kids like her who are going through, who have gone through therapy.
An emotional and powerful event, making waves in the fight against cancer.
We all just want to express our gratitude to Swim Across America and to all of the swimmers, the volunteers, the Olympians, and the supporters, and the cancer survivors.
In San Francisco, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
Christian Benavides is in Miami, where another tropical storm is expected to strengthen into a hurricane soon.
High winds and heavy seas swept this home off its foundation in Newfoundland. Multiple homes in Port-au-Basque were washed out to sea, and at least one woman was rescued and taken to the hospital. Storms of this magnitude don't normally pound the Canadian shoreline like this.
Where it fits in the history books, we'll have to make that determination after the fact, but it is going to be certainly a historic extreme event for Eastern Canada.
The damage has spread beyond the shoreline as well. The driver of this truck reportedly escaped with minor injuries. Power lines and trees are down throughout the region, leaving thousands without power. This is the same storm that battered the Caribbean for nearly a week. More than half of Puerto Rico is still without power after Fiona slammed into the island last Sunday.
We want to send in large amounts of food and water, but because of the infrastructure damage to roads, there are some areas that we just can't send trucks.
Meanwhile, another potentially devastating storm is gaining strength in the Caribbean. Preparations are underway in Florida as Tropical Storm Ian is churning a path towards the state. People are stocking up on bottled water and filling up gas tanks.
Asking people to make sure they have a plan. And then the next thing that we're going to be pushing out is know your evacuation zone and know your home. We call it know your zone, know your home.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has already declared a state of emergency as Ian is set to hit the state as a hurricane next week. Christian Benavides, CBS News, Miami.
And it's precisely because of that that the Artemis 1 rocket launch planned for Tuesday has been postponed again because of tropical storm, soon to be Hurricane Ian. NASA told its crew at Kennedy Space Center to stand down this morning. Weather conditions meant that there was only a 20% chance of launch. Don't know yet if the rocket and spacecraft will be taken off the launch pad and sent back to the hangar. Tuesday would have been the third launch attempt of Artemis 1. Meanwhile, a 4.8 magnitude quake hit just afternoon today off the coast of far northern California, not too far from Eureka. That part of the state is shaken up all the time by quakes and only rarely cause any damage. Yep. Quakes have returned to the North Coast.
Yeah, we had a minor earthquake. I'll show you where it was felt. We didn't feel it here. And even up there, it wasn't really all that big.
Was it a long way offshore, do you know?
It was about 20 miles off the coast. So this was kind of like the extension here. We'll go to the map. This was the San Andreas Fault keeps going. And then once it gets up there past Cape Mendocino, it turns left and goes out to the Pacific. You still have a transverse fault out there. And that's what happened about 20 miles off the coast. But you can see where it was felt. Lightly out here. If you know where the communities of Petrolia are or any of the others up there, this is out near like Humboldt Redwood State Park and maybe if you've got friends or family who live in Ferndale, but it was mild.
The three-day tech conference Dreamforce in San Francisco this week, the largest convention in the city since the pandemic. We have some facts and figures we'd like to share. Organizers say 150,000 people attended, including 40,000 who were here on site. The three-day conference projected to generate $40 million for San Francisco. The majority of vendors who participated, 85%, were local. The event also employed more than 2,000 local support staff. And now that you know that, we've told you everything we can usefully tell you about Dreamforce. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here at 11. Until then, the news continues on KPIX.com. For now, have a good Saturday night.